Turn to the book of Malachi, please. And we are continuing on in our study of this prophet of the Old Testament at a very interesting time in Israel's history. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 12 of Malachi chapter 3. We're almost finished. Well, actually, we have another chapter, don't we? Yeah. Probably through this month, we'll be finishing the book of Malachi as we've been going through it verse by verse. Malachi 3:6, please follow as I read through verse 12. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Let's ask the Lord to guide our thoughts through this time in his word. Spirit of God, you who have spoken to point us to Christ, who have inspired your scriptures, we ask that you would speak to us now, instruct us, teach us, inform us, rebuke us, encourage us, build our faith, whatever is in your sovereign plan and purpose in these moments together, would you accomplish it? For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, our Savior. Amen. Here is another one of those disputations that we are finding in the book of Malachi. The Lord states his case, and the people respond. By way of review, let's remind ourselves what these disputes were, and because I think that the discussion today has a context. Remember, it started out, where is God's love? We don't, God loves his people, but we don't sense it. And God reminds them, Jacob have I loved, Esau I hated. You're the chosen people, God says. And then he says to the priests, you show contempt for my name. And the priests say, how do we show contempt? Through your unacceptable worship, through bringing sick animals, lame animals, when they were supposed to bring the best of the herds and the flock as sacrifices. Then the people were wondering, well, why doesn't God hear us? And then the response was, well, you show contempt for my covenant by breaking covenant with your wife. And then again, you've wearied the Lord with your words. Well, how have we wearied you? Well, you've got this idea that the ones who are evil, they're the ones who seem to be getting ahead in the world. So by this attitude, they're bringing dishonor to God. So now, along with all of these issues just mentioned, God brings up this matter of tithing. The use of our money says an awful lot about us and about our priorities. And we want to consider the fact that the tithe is yet another very important way that we give expression to our relationship with God. Let me say that again. The tithe is yet another very important way that we give expression to our relationship with God. It's an expression of our obedience to God. It's an expression of our fear of God, and it's an expression of our trust in God. Now, as I've said many times, and you will probably hear me say many times again, there's something about biblical spirituality that is different from the spirituality of all other religions of the world. All other religions tend to go off in one of two directions. Either there is what is called casuistry, that all the details of your life is kind of spelled out for you in a very rigid kind of legalism. That's one kind of spirituality. There's another kind where everything is just spiritual, and you just sort of withdraw from the world, and you just kind of, float there in the realm of the spirit, without ever any connection to the real world. Biblical spirituality is different. It always connects the highly spiritual, indeed mystical, I should say mysterious, in as much as in the final analysis we can't put words on it. It connects the spiritual always with the mundane and the material world. And the tithe is a great illustration of this. The tithe is 10% of our gross, not our take home, of our gross income. God gets the first of everything that we have. That is a principle of Scripture. The Hebrew word for tithe in the Old Testament is the same root as the number 10. Aser, or Asar. Aser, 10, Asar, 10th. The tithe. Now, some would have it that the 10% is Old Testament law, and because of the fact that we are now in the age of grace, the tithe no longer applies. Now, that is faulty reasoning on many fronts, and I could spend the next half hour talking about that, the problems with that kind of reasoning. Let me say that the tithe predates Moses. So you cannot tie the tithe to the law of Moses. It predates him. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. If there is a difference between Old Testament giving and New, which I guess you could argue that there is, the difference is more, not less. It's not whatever you feel like giving, but rather it is more in the sense of sacrificial giving. There's the example of the widow's mite, for example, who probably gave a day's wages. So that meant that she would have probably given, an educated guess, 17% of her income. There's the example of the Macedonian church, where Paul tells the church at Corinth, see that you excel in this grace of giving. And of course, he held the Macedonian church up as their example, who gave beyond their ability to pay. Not to mention Jesus' own teaching about the whole tithe, and you can look at that in Matthew 23:23. But to repeat, the tithe is yet another very important way, not the only, but one very important way that we give expression to our relationship with God. First of all, it is an expression of our obedience to God. Look there at verse 7. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. How are we to return to you? God says, stop robbing me. These are strong words. So the people are saying, well, how do we rob you? You know, we don't have our hands in the till, in the offering box. You rob me, God says, by withholding the whole tithe. As a young man, I think I was in my late teens or early 20s, I spotted an article, the headline, "Are You Robbing God?" And it was written by Billy Graham. And it really brought me under conviction. Was I robbing God? I was giving regularly to my church, but I wasn't really tithing. And that article, I think, was sort of that wasn't the only thing, but certainly a shot in the arm to remind me of my responsibility. The tithe is God's portion of your income. It's the way that we show that everything we have belongs to God. Do you believe that everything you have belongs to God? Do you believe that everything that you have, be it the blood that is flowing in your veins, the possessions that you have, the food on your table, the clothes on your back, do you really believe that it is all from God's gracious hand? Or do you believe, no, the clothes come from Kohl's or Sears or whatever, and food comes from the grocery store, but if we really believe that everything that we have belongs to God, then give God his portion to show that you really believe that. Why do we tithe? Because the Lord commands it. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And if we don't bring the whole tithe, then we're not tithing. Now, this is not a complicated command, and children can understand this command. If we've strayed from the Lord in other ways, the likelihood is that we have strayed from the Lord in this area of tithing. We've either stopped tithing altogether, or we're not giving the whole tithe, which is another way of saying that we're not really tithing. When we say Jesus is Lord, we are saying that not only is he Lord over all the affairs of men and nations, but that he is Lord over my life. Is he Lord over your life? If he is Lord over your life, he is Lord over every part of your life. There is not one cubic millimeter in the universe that is independent from God's sovereign control. Is he Lord over every part of your life? If you're a student, is he Lord over your studies, over your relationships with your fellow students? Is he Lord over your job? Is he Lord over your marriage? Is he Lord over your family life? Is he Lord over all of your life on the street? Is he Lord over your pocketbook? If he commands us to give the whole tithe, then we ought to obey him. We ought to obey him because he is Lord. More than that, we ought to obey him because he's our Father. That's the great new covenant blessing. He is not our Father by natural birth. He is our Father by adoption, and therefore by covenant. Some of my children are my children by natural birth. Some of my other children are children by adoption, by covenant. That is to say, we made a commitment to them, and we sealed that by signing legal documents and going before a judge. None of us are God's children by natural birth. Those of us who have come to Christ in repentance and faith are his children by adoption. And it is a great privilege to call God Father. And if he is our father, then we ought to honor him as such, and we honor our father by obeying him. We thought we were tithing. It was some years ago now, and the Lord spoke to Jeannie and me, and I think you probably have heard this story, and you're probably getting sick of me telling it, but it was such an important lesson in our lives that the Lord spoke to Jeannie and me about the whole tithe, that we weren't giving the Lord the whole tithe. And so we said, well, you know, we better obey him, and we better give the whole tithe. So guess what happened? And, you know, our financial situation was difficult at the time. So we started giving the whole tithe, and guess what happened? Our financial situation got worse. And it stands to reason. You know, it's the principle of subtraction. A few months went by, and our financial situation was worse, and we looked at each other and said, well, I thought the Lord is supposed to bless you when you give him the whole tithe. And, you know, we kind of shrugged our shoulders at each other and said, no, this is what God commands, and we're going to still do it. And then another 3 or 4 months went by, and we looked at each other and said, you know what, we're not in financial difficulty anymore. And, you know, I can't explain why, other than the fact that God is faithful to his promises. So the tithe is yet another very important way that we give expression to our relationship with God. It is an expression of our obedience to God, and secondly, it's an expression of our fear of God. Look at verse 9 there. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Now, the words are getting even stronger, are they not? Not only God says you're robbing me, but now that you're under a curse. God had been withholding his blessing for his people there in the middle of the 5th century B.C. There was no reality to their worship. The people were wondering, where is God? He's not answering our prayers. But you know, someone once said, when God seems far away, guess who moved? And that's how this section begins in verse 6. God says, I don't change, but you do. I've been faithful from the time of your fathers, but from that time, you've had this tendency to drift away from me. And had it not been for my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel would have been destroyed. Again, we see the gospel throughout the scriptures. God's grace in dealing with his people, not giving up on them, persevering with his people, not because they deserve it, but because of his gracious promise. I want us to notice, too, how sin can affect the whole group, be it the family, the church, or the nation. And our individualism that's getting increasingly individualistic with our digital cocoons, our individualism extends to thinking that what we do, good or bad, especially the bad, doesn't really affect other people. And nothing could be further from the truth. The plain meaning here is that God wasn't blessing his people because, among other things, they were not tithing. I fear being under a curse. Well, what did that curse look like for Israel by their withholding the whole tithe? Well, on the one hand, just as by way of general principle, the things that happen in our lives can be explained by the law of cause and effect. But God, in his providence, works through these events in our lives, and sometimes we understand them, and oftentimes we don't. Well, what did the curse look like there? Well, he mentions it in verse 11. The pests were devouring the crops, and the vines were dropping their grapes before they ripened. Now think about this. In an agrarian society, that the crops and, you know, the grapes, that's your income, that's your food. And these are the very things that Moses had warned his people about in the book of Deuteronomy before they entered the land. Well, what would this curse look like today? Well, you just finished paying for that root canal that you didn't plan on having. And then your car didn't pass inspection and you needed new brakes. It's the middle of August and your refrigerator just went out and you've used up all your sick days and your job, and you tripped over the cat in the middle of the night and broke your wrist trying to break your fall, and you had to miss work because you had to go sit in the emergency room, and then your pay got docked because you were out of sick days, and oh yes, by the way, there is a 20% deductible on your hospital bill. Dare I say that you and I have been in situations like that where these financial needs just kind of cluster themselves around. The timing is bad. And we don't seem to be able to get ahead financially. If that is the case in your life, it might be time for some soul searching. You might want to look at your overall budget, how you're spending your money. Are you living beyond your means and accumulating consumer debt? And you also might want to consider whether you are tithing or not. Now, don't misunderstand. I don't think we can look over God's shoulder and get an explanation for every external event in our lives that are outside of our control, and much less can we predict the outcome of our circumstances. And tithing is not a magic quid pro quo, this for that, a buying off God. But it is commanded, and if I am disobeying God, then I'm out of fellowship with Him. And He has a way of getting our attention through life circumstances, such as I just mentioned here. I fear being under God's heavy hand of chastisement. And there is no contradiction in believing in the grace of God and fearing Him in the biblical sense of that word. To fear God is to be afraid of wantonly sinning under the presumption that in the final analysis He loves you anyway and it doesn't matter what you do. Well, in the one sense, that is true. He does love you. And in one sense, I guess we could say that it doesn't matter what you do. But that's why you should fear Him, because whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And you do not want to force the chastening hand of God in your life. You do not want to do that. So to fear God is to fear what He can do in judgment, but it's also to be afraid of dishonoring the one that loves us in Jesus Christ. If we really believe that, then it is the case that a loving son does not want to dishonor his father who loves him. So, the tithe, as we are saying, to repeat ourselves, is yet another very important way that we give expression to our relationship with God. It is an expression of our obedience to God. It is an expression of our fear of God. And thirdly, it's an expression of our trust in God. Look at verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The key phrase is, test me in this. That is, prove me. Let me show you what I can do. Do you trust God? Do you believe that everything you have is from His gracious hand, or do you believe, no, that's mine? I worked hard for that. That's mine. Do you believe that it all could be taken away from you in an instant? Do you really believe that God is your heavenly Father, and as such, that he can meet all of your needs, be they spiritual or material? You know, so much of the Christian life is counterintuitive. It just kind of goes against our reason. We live by dying. We're strong when we're weak. We're greatest when we're least. And with tithing, less is more. Now God says to his people, then and now, I want you to test me. Stop robbing me and bring the whole tithe. You will see how I will bless you. And God aims to bless his people. I always think of that situation where the ark had been wrongly taken out into battle and it was captured by the Philistines and then finally returned, and it was on its way back to Jerusalem. It was in the to Israel. It was in the house of Obed-Edom. And while it was there in the house of Obed-Edom, God blessed the household of Obed-Edom. And I thought that's such a beautiful illustration of the way God relates to his people. And we sang, what was our Isaiah passage about? Just, I'll be with you. I'll be with you in every situation. And he will be there and is there to meet. God has a way of meeting needs at crucial times in our lives. He does it in a lot of different ways. There are sometimes an unexpected gift, an unexpected promotion on the job. I remember years ago, and we had a real financial need in our family. It was a long time ago now, but my brother had passed away, and he had willed some of his money to go to a Christian ministry, and my sister-in-law, his widow, called me and said he would have wanted you to have it. I was a total surprise. I had no idea that this was happening or that there would be some money coming. But it met a real financial need at a very crucial time in our life. You know, God has a way, just different ways of meeting our needs. And this lesson has not come easy for me, I want to tell you. Trusting God that less is more. But I can tell you from personal testimony that he has proven himself faithful over and over, time and time again in our lives. And that's one of the advantages of growing old, because we have the ability to accumulate experiences with God. But mind you, sometimes we come up against new situations in our lives that present even greater challenges to us, and the temptation is still to think that's it. We're toast, we're done, we're finished. Not unlike Israel in the wilderness, by the way. And that is a time to remember God's faithfulness in the past and his promises in the present. He says to you and to me, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing upon you that you will not have enough room for it. And pound for pound, overall, God has blessed his people, especially those who are faithful in this area of giving. You know, yes, there are... We can't rubber stamp that in every situation, because God has his way of working in our lives. But overall, who has had the resources to meet the needs of the world? It has been Christians or people with a Christian legacy. So why do we tithe? Because the church needs the money? No, that's not why we tithe. I mean, we do need it, but that's not the reason that we tithe. And if people stopped giving today, somehow God in his sovereignty would make sure that his work continues on. So I don't want to say, you know, we're not meeting our budget and you got to dig a little deeper and all this stuff. I mean, I mean, I believe that we ought to give sacrificially, but really this is a matter between you and the Lord. We do not check up on people. We do not demand tithe from people. That would be wrong for us to do, because this is a matter between you and the Lord. But let it be known that the tithe is a very important way that we give expression to our relationship with God. It's an expression of our obedience to God. It's an expression of our fear of God. It's an expression of our trust in God. And I grant you that tithing can make a person hungry at times. And contrary to some television preachers, it is the principle of subtraction. Do the math. When you start giving the whole tithe, you have less money. This is simple grade school math. But in the grand scheme of things, I can tell you, if you are faithful in these matters, you will see God's provision for you and then some. And I honestly believe, as I said before, that Christianity has been a blessing to the entire world, because God has blessed Christians to the extent that they have been faithful to Him in this area of giving. It's not necessarily the wealthiest who are the givers, but it is those who trust God and are so overwhelmed by His grace to them that they want to share their resources as a way of saying thank you to God. Trust God by giving Him the whole tithe. That is an essential part of your walk with Him. And you are also being a testimony to a watching world as they see God blessing you. Let's pray. Lord, you have given to us so freely, so abundantly, so wonderfully, and may we do likewise. May we be givers, O God, as those who are loved by you, as those who trust you. Help us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit at work in our lives to prompt us and to remind us of these things. We pray in the name of the living Word, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.